Okay, I want to welcome everybody to the March meeting of the Fulton County Court of Court. Please stand with me if you would. Justice David Meeks is going to lead us in invocation and pledge of allegiance.
Dear God, we come before you today. Lord, we're thankful to be able to live in a free country, Lord, that we can come and meet, Lord, and make important decisions. Lord, we pray, God, that you would watch over us as we do, Lord, that you give us the wisdom and the right words to say. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would bless everybody that's here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
Allison.
Here.
Host.
Present.
Kendrick.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lawson.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Meeks.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Shaw.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Yorgie.
Here.
All right. Let the record show we do have a quorum. Next on our agenda is approval of the journal. Members of the court, you've got in your packet, you've got a copy of the meeting minutes from last month's meeting. What is your pleasure?
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Got a motion, second. Any discussion? Any corrections? All in favor as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the journal is approved. County officers report. Let's start with the treasurer's report. Mr. Treasurer Scott Sampson.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody hear me now? Summary statement for Quorum Court, County General Fund $1,004,847,980.49. County Road Fund $2,010,052,339.99. County Road Sales Tax Fund $3,402,006,544,895.51. Animal Welfare and Control Fund $3,404,1,375,222.58. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund $3,407,1,687,330.40. ARP Revenue Replacement Fund 1006, $5,543,303.30. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $1,013,069.31. Coronavirus Relief Fund 1005, $2,079,417.69. Turning to page 2, this is the revenue for County General. You can see at this point, we're just a little bit above last year's, which is always good. You can't see a whole lot in the first 2 months before we start getting sales tax. I will let you remind you, I'd say, that this year will not be as high as last year due to some timing of some revenue that came in, supposed to come in 24, that come in 25. So we will be above the 24 number, probably won't be as high as the 25 number. Page 3, sales tax for February, $1,500,186.58, 5.43% better than February of 2025, and year to date 5.19% better than 2025. On page 4, total revenue collected in sales tax for the first 2 months is $2,733,409.86. That's 18% of our projected $14.8 million. And on the last page is the three-month versus one-year moving average. This is no surprise. February is always a high month for our three-month moving average. It's considerably above our one-year moving average. One-year moving average continues to climb. Sales tax looks really good. Are there any
questions for Scott Sampson? Thank you so much for that report.
Thank you.
Just keep the numbers good. I think everybody would be happy.
Yeah. I don't do any of that. I just report. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. The next report is the Sheriff's Office report. I don't see anybody here personally from the Sheriff's Office, but you can look at the report. It's in your packet. If you have any questions, just reach out to the Sheriff or the Chief. And next, let's go. I'll make note. Statement of operation expenditures is in there on behalf of the county clerk. I'll just announce that that's in there as per norm. And then next, let's go to the County Administrator's Report, Randy Higgins.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I've just got a couple of topics I'll bring to your attention. First off will be the Unit 2 Max. Just kind of give you a quick update. I think I've got a picture. This is actually about 3 weeks ago. So all of the, you can see the dirt work area and everything. That is pretty much the site itself of the construction. The vehicles that are there behind Unit 2 are evidence vehicles that have been stored there forever. And there's a little bit of an effort that we had to collaborate with the sheriff's office to relocate those. We rented a lot just outside of the picture frame to our right and have since moved all those. And I'll go to the next picture, which is actually last week. So you can see where we've started the dirt work, the road that will go completely around the facility. And then the facility would go on the inside of that. The evidence vehicles have been moved. Those vehicles that are there now are actually construction worker vehicles or the construction vehicles themselves. I was on site today, and already it looks a little different. We'll be working with OEM on a weekly basis, and we'll be taking shots. We're doing some training out there, some drone training, and we've decided to use this site kind of as a training area. So hopefully I'll have monthly updates on the status of the process of the project so you guys can kind of keep track of it. I will say that we're going through typical weather-related groundbreaking dirt issues on a daily basis. It's just part of it. We expect hopefully by the time we get through all the dirt work thing and we get into steel work, it'll start smoothing out. So that's where we are with that. Secondly, this just a topic more for your information, but we have been working with our IT department and the Sheriff's Department IT department, and we kind of have a new regulation or whatever that has to do with ADA compliance, American Disability Act compliance, for websites. And so our website that, by the way, we get lots of positive comments on our new website. It's been up a little over a year and everything now. It is not ADA compliant because it wasn't a thing a year ago. And so we're working through that. So not only do we have to have the website ADA compliant, but all of the PDF files that are on our website have to be ADA compliant. And so you think about, well, how many PDF files can you have on your website? So ordinances that date back 20 years, that we have on there, agenda, meeting agendas, all kinds of reports that are on there. And so there's a process to go through. The reason I mention all this is as of today, and we're still in the foundation part of this, the price tag, that's about $30,000 to $35,000 for us to get there today. We're working on it to try to get that down in option and things. So not any decisions that need to be made right now. I'm just bringing to your attention so if I come back in here a couple of months, you won't say, wow, why'd you let this sneak up on us? And we're working on that now. Judge, pending any questions, I am through.
Any questions for Mr. Higgins?
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you so much. Road and ARP Administrator Tom Anderson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Call your attention to the ARP report. We had not a whole lot of money spent this period. It was approximately $61,000. Majority of that is the Conway Court water capacity. If you'll remember, that's the pipeline they're working on to establish the pipeline between Gears Ferry and here. And they had $42,000 expended, a little over, mostly engineering. Subject to any questions, that's my ARP report, Your Honor.
Any questions for Mr. Anderson? Seeing none, road report?
Road report, we haven't done any asphalt. It's a little cool yet to start that or chip seal. So there's nothing to report on the roads except for the construction of the road shop. We have the footings poured. They're working on plumbing, everything that goes inside the slab. And we hope to pour that probably late this month, the first part of next month. Our steel package for the building is scheduled for the middle of May to be delivered out there. We're on track right now to complete it a year from last month. Maybe earlier, but right now I'm saying February of next year. Subject to any questions, that concludes my report, Your Honor.
Any questions? Justice Lyon.
Yep. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir.
My monthly RDOT updates, anything from Lower Ridge or 25 or any of those projects?
Lower Ridge. You have to refresh me.
I'm sorry, Skunk Hollow.
Oh, okay, Skunk Hollow and 286 intersection. Yes, the highway department has approved the low bidder for us, and we're having a pre-construction meeting Wednesday or Thursday. I think it's Thursday of this week with them. So we'll meet with them and set them loose to get started on that. On what was your other question?
Elliott Road 25.
Elliott and 25. They had the public input. There was some input about a stoplight as well as a left turn lane, so they're studying that to see if that would be feasible. Basically the same footprint, I believe, except instead of just a turn lane to the left, it will have a stoplight with a turn arrow left.
Very good. And just some background on that, I want to give props to RDOT. You know, they get beat up a little bit on public input meetings, and folks believe that their input may not necessarily help re-steer the direction of a project, and this is one where they listened. They've reached out to us. They've reached out to Tom and me and constituents to try to understand what the folks' input was, and, hey, I think we'll end up with the right thing to both improve safety and help traffic flow, not only for now but tomorrow. Yeah, as we know, that highway is, the traffic there is just not going to get any lighter. And so we'll try to do the right thing there, and we're well on our way with that. Good question.
Judge,
any other question? Justice Coates?
Speaking of Highway 25 again, what about Wooster four-way stop? Do we have any updates on from
I think that's scheduled to start bidding next year, I believe, Judge, if I'm my memory's correct on that.
Yeah, it's probably better than my memory, but yeah.
I think it was a year or two out from now is what it's forecasted for.
Of course, that's purely an RDOT project, but you know, they'll give us updates. It's been a little bit. We'll reach out and have a report next month.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Tom? Thank you, Tom. All right, next, standing committee reports. As always, let's start with infrastructure.
Yes, no report this month. I do anticipate a meeting next month. Administrator Higgins has sent me some information regarding the possible formation, if the court so chooses to, it's called a CPACE, which will allow, I guess, business owners to potentially qualify for low interest or no interest loans to improve their energy efficient buildings. So look forward for that next month. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Courts and Public Safety. Justice Coates.
Thank you, Judge. Courts and Public Safety did not meet this past month.
Okay. Budget Committee. Justice Lahosky.
Judge, the Budget and Finance Committee met last week and passed one appropriation ordinance before the court tonight.
Okay, and Personnel Committee, Justice Kendrick.
Judge, Personnel did not meet this month. Thank you.
Okay. Next on our agenda, public comment. Any member of the public can comment on anything on the agenda before the court tonight. Seeing none, special reports. I'm not aware of any. Actually, Judge Clausen, by the way, we are blessed with Circuit Judge, one of our Circuit Judges, Chuck Clausen. Are you going to give us a report today?
Yes, sir.
Make sure that mic is hot. It looks like it is.
So blessed to have me. You almost forgot about me.
Well, I was not yet on that line. I've got to be honest. I told Teresa next to me, I'm going to have better eyes.
That's all right. Well, listen, I appreciate the time, and I won't be long. I told you from the beginning when we started these grants, I was going to come back on a regular basis and kind of update you. And so this is one of those updates. We're about 8 months in on the two grants. And just a reminder, we have what we call a free C grant that covers anybody that's justice involved, and it overlaps into drug court. So those that are participating in drug court can still receive free C grant monies. Then we have a grant specifically for those that are in drug court. So I wanted to give you some numbers and let you know what we're doing with these funds. Obviously, my team's been working extremely hard. I'm proud of what the work we've done. We've come up with a system to be able to contact people, which, you know, to make contact with folks that could be in need of services for their substance abuse disorders. It used to be 2 months. Now we contact them within 24 to 48 hours. so we can identify somebody that's in need of services that it's obviously justice involved. In those 8 months, well, since July 9th, we've contacted 168 individuals that have been screened for services. We've enrolled 53 in the drug court. 41 were not enrolled for a variety of reasons. Either the prosecutor declined to offer them drug court because they obviously have the right to do that. They had some kind of violent charge, which would automatically disqualify them. But one of the things I thought was interesting, of those 41 people that didn't meet criteria, there was only one person that didn't live in the county. So I want you to know that everything we're doing, we're helping a community problem, and we're addressing that problem here in Faulkner County. We've administered 946 drug tests in that period of time. So obviously everybody that's involved in getting these funds are heavily monitored. We have 74 that are still what's called in the screening process. That's a really big kind of category. They may not qualify for drug court. They may not be interested in it, but they qualify for other services. And so we're kind of in the process of getting them through and seeing where we could help them, if at all possible. We obviously have our peer support that's been hugely important. Housing is consistently our bottleneck. We're processing so many people. Stable housing is the problem. We have great partners in Bethlehem House, Coho, and the Ministry Center. The Ministry Center is our most recent addition. We've done an MOU with them, and they've got rapid rehousing and help with our eviction prevention. Let's see, we're working with other partners right now to get some sober living, and I think we're really close to getting maybe anywhere from 25 to 40 units there, which will really change the game and what we're doing and the number of people that we can help. We're looking at expanding the clinical services that we provide in relation to mental health. Right now we've got River Valley Medical. They have, I don't know if you ever drive down Robbins, but there's a purple bus that comes once a week, and they're able to assess those that are receiving funds for whatever help they need in that area. We're also working with Natural State. They're our kind of go-to for clinical services here. They bought out one of the other counseling centers, and they've operated that. We've had a really good relationship with them over the months and years because they have the inpatient facility that we often refer people to. We've worked with schools in prevention services. We've done 4 Narcan trainings. We've done, we've handed out over 60 doses of Narcan. And now Track 2 is online. So before, we could only take folks that assessed that as a high risk, high need. And now, if they don't meet that criteria, they still have the high needs, but they may be lower risk, and usually that is determined based on a criminal history. So you may have somebody that's been in addiction a long time, but they haven't been in the criminal justice system, and that's what assesses out at that high risk. So we're able to have Track 2. That's since February. We've got 4 participants in Track 2 now. We use Natural State Clinical or Counseling Services as the intensive outpatient counseling part of that. They're still supervised in the same way. They still have a lot of the same restrictions as far as curfews, probation, drug testing, things like that. So we've been working on that. We're building that up. I think we got 3 or 4 more people that are in the hopper, I guess, as it were, to be able to get into that. So we're working on jail flyers and contacts. I've been working with Chief Woolley. We have a dedicated phone line now, so people can use the kiosk and contact our peer support directly from the jail. If we haven't reached out to them, if we hadn't made contact with them in the through the first appearance or arraignment. So again, just keeping that contact as soon as we can get it. And again, we've reduced our time to almost 24 hours of contacting folks. The main thing I wanted to bring to you today, and I'll kind of sit down after this or answer any questions if you have any. Obviously, these grants, as Jeff Schock and I were talking about before, heavily regulated, tons of reporting. I've asked some of the people that do our grant management for us to give me some numbers on return on investment or taxpayer savings in this period of time. And right now we're looking at $767,000 in taxpayer savings to the efforts that we've done just here in the community. And that comes through public assistance, public services, case management, jail diversion, housing, clinical treatment, and transportation. So I think we're making an impact. We got more work to do, but I can't thank you all enough for the support you've provided us. Any questions?
Any questions for Judge Clausen?
Last question, Judge.
Yes, sir.
Remind me again, like, the grant that you have currently, does it run out sometime this year?
Tell me that story. Yeah, so we've got one grant. It's a three-year grant. One grant's a four-year grant.
Okay.
So we're looking at doing that, and we're trying to stay on top of it. We've already looked into, because we're talking such, to me, a huge amount of money. We want to spend it wisely, but we've got to spend it.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at other treatment options and things like that for people that maybe wouldn't qualify for drug court and putting them in inpatient. And so we're working through those systems now, or those options now for folks.
Okay. So is there any cliff that we have to worry about near the end of this year as far as, like, you have a position or two funded by this grant, but the grant's going to go away, and so now we got to figure something out?
No, okay. Sir.
That's all. That's what I want to make sure. Thank you.
I think we're good right now. We're looking at actually maybe hiring another case manager, which would help continue to keep people in touch with the services through the Free C grant. But again, it's fully grant funded, yep. And we just got to find the right person and make sure that we got an exact job description in place to be able to move forward with that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, good question, and I appreciate, just basically on behalf of all of us, Budget Chair Lahosky, trying to keep an eye out on what he termed, you know, being budget cliffs, where, you know, we're sort of weaned off some initial help from, you know, the federal or state government, yeah. Which ends up being a burden on our county general and having to try to find the way to fund that without trimming the program or anything like that. And I assume that's where you're headed with that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Important program. And like you said, there's savings there. There are savings there. And we love keeping people out of jail if they don't need to be there, you know.
Absolutely.
But
because they're full.
Yeah. And, you know, I just, again, I'd like to thank you for, I mean, you don't have to be doing this program. I mean, you've got plenty of other work to do as a circuit judge. And, you know, it just says a lot that you're taking the time to do that. Come in here and ask for money and organize this program and manage the folks and manage the operation and run your docket in a way that accommodates it. The reason I wanted to draw your attention to that, because I know I've thanked you before, but, you know, we've got a drug problem in America. I'm just going to hit it head on. We've got a continuing drug problem in America. There's no one in this room who's not been affected by it. By your loved ones or friends or someone you know through your circles away from county government. Attorney General Tim Griffin was in town. That's why it's on my mind. He was in town today over at Hendricks announcing a one-kill, I don't know, Justice Shock may know it better than me, but I think he calls it a one-kill, one pill can kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically a communication effort to try to raise awareness. I know they've got some Narcan for, I think, virtually every campus in the state. And then he's also got some discretionary money, some of the opioid settlement money that we as a county receive along with our other counties in the state that are going to help fund operations to try to help fix this problem. But I appreciate our elected officials not ignoring it. And the easy thing to do is ignore it. So anyway, I just wanted to say that again to everybody here in the room and to our live stream. If you know someone, get them some help. There's
Absolutely.
Help out there. You see a circuit judge here standing up a program to help those who didn't get help soon enough. But we're trying to redirect them. And so to the extent this court supports that, I want to thank each one of you. I have been personally affected with people I know and love. And I was not aware, but the general lost his brother to the long-term impact of opiates. He didn't die of an overdose or anything like that, but dealt with pain management. He reported this in public today, so I'm not divulging anything that he doesn't mind being out there. Each and every one of us. And one pill with the fentanyls, the illicit opiates, which is fentanyl, however you say it. One pill can kill. And certainly one pill will addict. So wanted to bogart off your platform today and just continue to draw attention to that. It's not a problem we should ignore, and we're not going to.
No, I appreciate it, and absolutely right. I'm just thankful that we have resources. As far as my time is concerned, drug court is about 5% of my docket, and it takes up probably about 30 to 35% of my time, but glad to do it. We see successes every day. We graduated one person today out of Veterans Court, I fully believe that he would not be alive today had it not been for Veterans Court intervention. So we're continuing to grow that program as well, and they can benefit from these grants. So I'll be back. It'll probably be another 6 months or so with some updated numbers and let you know how our programs are going. But I have all the confidence in the world it's going to be good news.
Yeah.
All right.
Judge, thank you for that.
Oh. I was going to say, I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Judge Clausen, I just want to commend you and your staff for going above and beyond and doing this work, and especially for coming back and keeping the court updated on the success of the program and what you're spending. It definitely helps because a lot of times we don't always necessarily get this live, direct feedback. So coming back and hearing that's, I just want to commend you for doing that as well. So thank you.
I appreciate that, Justice Kendrick. My goal is to have something that this court and this county, this community can be proud of. It'd be great if we worked our way out of business, but I just don't think that that's going to happen. But the ones that are affected by substance abuse disorder, and that have, criminal justice contact, then we can definitely, provide them some support.
Well, you're saving lives. I also want to draw attention to thank the court. This remodel of the courthouse that you guys approved and, you know, we benefit from in this room, if you'll recall, the office spaces on either ends of this second floor have been upgraded and are usable now. And Judge Clausen and Randy have been working to try to get some of the personnel needs and the space they need right here in this building that you guys just remodeled. And so I wanted to thank you for that. You approved the funding for it. It's a beautiful building we're all proud of now. And so that's a direct benefit to our people through this program.
So, absolutely. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all.
All right. Any other special reports? Next, we go to old business. Any old business? I'm not aware of any. Moving along. New business. Proposed ordinance 26-06. Justice Lahosky?
Judge,
sponsoring this one?
Sponsored by Budget and Finance, but I'll make a motion for the passage of proposed ordinance 2606.
Second.
Motion and a second. Would you like to give us a brief
overview? Just calling out the big numbers. Section 5 is an appropriation basically to fill a gap in the consolidated 911 budget with City of Conway. That's kind of our quote unquote fair share of the expenses out of that. And then Section 6 is a ARP situation. I'm sure Tom can speak more to, and that looks about all the big numbers on this one. Section 1 is a grant.
All right, before Tom, I would ask Tom to give a little bit of an overview on that. I think you should be familiar. I know the Budget Committee is familiar with it, but we've got to actually back up just a second and do a reading. Counselor, if you do a reading.
Proposed Ordinance 26-06, being enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 25-33, dated November 18th, 2025, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, members, we've had motion and second and a reading. Any discussion?
Judge.
Justice Kendrick.
Yes, sir. I've got a question on Section 5 for the 911. Is this our first payment since we've consolidated?
I believe it's the first reconciled payment, but I'll yield to Randy. He deals with that daily. I say reconciled. It's the first identified number.
So there's a process before the transition where we're integrated. The City of Conway would receive 911 PSAP funds for cell phone usage, and the county would. And then the county received all of the landline funds by legislature. It was that way. As we did the integration, We reached out to them and then had them send all of the PSAP funds directly to the city. So as of 2025, we didn't receive those any longer. But the landline fees still come to us. We worked with the treasurer, and we did a transition. And of course, the landline fees are getting smaller each year. I can remember as a JP when the landline fees were much larger than the cell phone fees, and now it's quite the opposite. I think it was down to $91,000 this year. So those were transitioned over. So after they received all of the cell phone 911 PSAP fees, the landline PSAP fees, the city also received a one-time stipend from the state for $400,000 as startup cost for this. So the startup costs are in this, and after you add up all of the 911 fees and then the $400,000 startup cost, there's a bottom line of excess revenues at $658,932.10. And so that was what was the cost of this overage. The agreement that we have in the mutual aid agreement is that the city of Conway pays 52% of that. We pay 48%. So when you do your 52-48 split, that left us with the $316,287.41.
You said extra revenues, but I think you meant extra expenses, excess revenues.
Yes,
but
yes.
Excess expenses.
And yes.
$600,000.
That's correct. Yeah. All right. One thing I'd like to note also is that it's not just the fact that we received this $316,000 cost. We transferred cost to them when we did this. So I looked it up. So we transferred seven full-time employees out of Department 1000 Fund 0400 Sheriff, seven positions. We also transferred two salary positions from Sheriff Criminal Justice, which is 3407.0436. That totals $564,981. We transferred $564,000 cost to them. And so now coming back in our share of this is $316,000, honestly, is a pretty fair trade.
Okay. I guess a follow-up question. So based on that, since they received the one-time grant for $400,000...
That won't happen next year.
Okay, so are we looking at roughly the total bill, expecting $1 million a year to be split between the city and the county, or the overage, I should say, based upon this year?
All things being even, we're anticipating the $658,000, which was their excess, plus $400,000, so that's a little over $1 million.
Right.
But I'm speaking outside, and I serve as a member of the board. This is our first year, so we had some startup costs on top of that. We're looking at things that can actually reduce that overall budget. I'll say this another way. The director of the center is aware that the board is encouraging him to cut costs where he can. So there will be some personnel changes. I know we've got somebody retiring, and we're doing some changes there that will be some cost savings. So they're sensitive to the fact that we need to do some cost reduction there.
Can you remind me who all is on the board and how often you'll meet?
Yeah, so it's a five-member board, police chief, fire chief from the city of Conway, sheriff, OEM director, and the county administrator.
Okay. Does the board review and approve the budget before it goes to the council?
It was an odd. The short answer is we did not this year.
Okay.
Going forward, we will. It was kind of an odd situation. We were kind of feeling our oats. They went through and approved at that point and then advised us of it. I've had conversations with Sean Kennedy and the board as well saying, yeah, we need to run that through the quorum court before we come back and get it later in the year. We anticipate hopefully having some numbers at budget time in 2026 that we did not have in 2025.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what – I just want to make sure that we've got the transparency and accountability there and that it's being looked at, because if we're just being handed a bill that we have no say or control over, that's a little unnerving to some extent.
So. Well, I don't disagree with you. And I'll close with the funding. We're paying for this out of accrued funds that we had in our PSAP 911 funds. We're not having to pull it out of County General.
Okay. I guess my one last question, and I'll stop. Based on the current spending rate, when will we be out of funds that we've currently got? If it's not reduced down and we don't find some efficiencies and cost savings?
A non-qualifying guess that I won't be held liable for? Five or six years.
Several years.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
And we hope
yeah.
very strongly that to match expenses to revenue. As with everything else, we try to manage toward, you know, a funding stream that's pretty much funding votes for the expense. You know, I'll just say that's my outlook on that. We've got to manage toward that. And if we don't have a goal of doing that, we're not going to do that. And, you know, we could visit with the legislature about, hey, is philosophically, is this, are we paying for the infrastructure by those who use it? Or are we sapping it from various other funding needs? And I really feel strongly about that. I don't think it's too far out of whack. And by far, we will not be the ones who need that the most. But I think that'll come to a head again in not too many years down the road elsewhere around the state. That's just my feel. Good questions. Justice Yorgie.
Yeah, I just had a follow-up question along the same line. So the appropriation here is coming out of Fund 3020, the 911 fund, and are you talking about these additional or the yearly anticipated expenses continuing to come out of that 911 PSAP fund, or would there be some sharing of funds or other funds involved?
No, so all of the funding that is currently generated goes to the city currently. In our agreement, we had accrued some funds, and those funds we kept for purposes like this. So those funds will no longer receive revenue, so that eventually will dwindle out.
But for this 5 or 6 year period that you were talking about,
yes,
we would draw down the existing funds,
yes,
in there.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Your Honor, let me just make one other comment that I'd like to make. While looking for this data, Justice Lahousky and I had been talking about this before the Budget and Finance Committee. I made a trip over there and talked with Sean Kennedy, the director, to get a feel for, number one, a big concern when we did this was our employees, is how our employees, and there was a concern about lots of turnover and everything. We've actually lost one person so far, and that person had a baby, decided not to come back to work. So good for them, become a stay-at-home mom. So we're not having employee issues. Morale over there reportedly is doing very well. I also checked with the patrol lieutenant and Chief Woolley to find out how the deputies were perceiving this, and we're not receiving complaints from that either. So we're not having issues. Actually, it's the opposite. I was at the Arkansas Association of Judges meeting when the GIS people came in and were talking about this, and Faulkner County is being held up and the Conway Center is being held up as an example of the right way to do it. So I think there's a lot of good that's gone through this. It's hard work and working with the city of Conway. Sean Kennedy's done a great job as their director, but I think overall it's been a good program.
I agree. I mean, they've been holding it up as not only the model to use, and I'll recap that in just a second, but just the cooperation and the speed with which it was done. Early on, they were concerned Faulkner County was not making enough, I'd say the city and the county were not making enough progress. We heard that early on in my tenure here. And I've got to commend Mayor Castleberry and the city council. Sean Kennedy is absolutely awesome. He's the director there. But getting the county and the city both comfortable with having that entity run under a director who reports to an independent board, a five-member board, is really, they're recommending that elsewhere. And I'm sure several of you associated with law enforcement have seen issues around the state with that. It's just, it's not as easy as simply consolidating PSAP. To be fair to all, it's not an easy thing to do. And it's really, really important infrastructure that can't mess up. You just cannot mess 911 up. So that program, really proud of that. And there's a lot of credit to go around. I want to thank Randy. He was really integral with that. I think that's probably no surprise. But do want to thank the city, Fire Chief, Police Chief, Sheriff Ryle, and also Keith Hillman, Larry Hearn. I want to mention Larry Hearn as well. So really, really good work. And it's kind of like offensive linemen in football. You know, if you hear about them, it's probably bad. And if you don't, it's probably good. That's the way 911 is, and it's working great. We do hope to manage toward a business model there that contains expenses to to the revenue dedicated to it. I spoke with a legislator or two who disagreed with me and thought philosophically a local government ought to have to add some funding to that, and I disagree with that vehemently. I have a lot of respect for the legislator. It's not one probably anyone could pick if they were trying to, as to who I was talking to, but I believe the funding ought to support the functionality. And so we'll try to manage toward that. And at the end of the day, if we don't make it, we will have given it our best shot. Administrator Higgins, I did want to give you an opportunity also to circle back on the coroner's report, because I know you draw their attention to that. Is there anything you wanted to highlight with that, or just point out that it's in the packet?
Other than it's in the packet, it's not specific. The numbers dropped off a little bit, I believe, in February, which was not surprising. Coroner actually just came back from a week-long training in Minneapolis for some certification and training up there, and I spoke with her today. Anytime we have an opportunity to help train our people to be more effective at what they do, we're supportive of that, and apparently this was a good training opportunity for her.
Very good. Now I want to circle back to the motion that's on the floor. Any other questions for Administrator Higgins? Any other discussion?
I do have a comment. I think we need to talk about Section 6 a little bit.
Okay.
I think just on the surface, it looks as though we're voting to take $1.5 million from City of Mayflower and give it to the Conway Corporation, but that's not exactly what's going on. I think it needs some definition, some exposure for the record, if you will.
You bet.
Because we've been through three mayors and quite a few changes in the city council since we originally voted to give this money to Mayflower to rebuild their sewage treatment plant. And so I've been to all of those meetings with the Conway Corp and all the different ones, and even went to some meetings with them over to the state of Arkansas to try to get them some extra money for that project. So it's a little frustrating to me to see this going on, but I would like for Tom to give us a definition or an explanation, at least the way he sees how this develops. I guess my short answer to it is that it's been about 5 years, or a little over, maybe, and they had decided at one point that they were going to go and pump their sewage to Conway Corporation. There were people on the city council and people outside the city council that were opposed to that because it actually will cost them more money, according to the current mayor, and my figures too, to actually go with Conway Corp than it would have to have done it themselves. The interim mayor, the second mayor, apparently, and that city council made the choice to go with Conway Corporation, which puts us in the county in a bit of a spot, I think. Could you comment on that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Your
Honor? Sure.
If you remember back when we first started appropriating money for projects, there were several towns that had an appropriation all at the same time for water, for sewer. Mayflower was one of those, and it was $1.5 million and some change is what we appropriated for them. When Mayor Hester took office, we met with him, and at that time they were unsure if they were going to rebuild their old sewer plant or if they were going to work with Conway. Sometime subsequent to that, they decided to work with Conway Corp. And so we signed a contract with them to let them use the money for that project. Also, if you remember, we had to appropriate all the money by the end of 24. So we appropriated all the money out to make sure we didn't lose any. And at the same time we did that, we had two catch-all programs. One was for the revenue replacement funds of $10 million that serves for county functions. The other was restricted. The other $14 million was part of what we were given Mayflower. And so we had a catch-all project for both. One was the jail for the revenue replacement, and one was Conway Corp water treatment facility. that plant is going to go in at the end of the pipeline. It'll connect from the pipeline to the treatment facility that we gave them some money to study to try to get from Brewers Ferry here. So as the project of Conway Corp and Mayflower was moving along, they were doing the engineering, doing the surveys, figuring out where the land was going to go. They spent about a half a million of their $1.5 million. When they recently changed mayors, they said, we're changing direction now. We're not going to go with Conway Corp anymore. We're going to repair or work on our own facility. Because of the December 24 deadline, we had appropriated everything out. Part of that was the catch-all for Conway Corp Water Project. And so the balance of what's left out of that 1.5, we're moving to be able to spend so we don't lose any money into this catch-all project. Does that make it clear as mud, or are there questions?
Yeah, and I would add also, thank you for that explanation, but I think a couple of things we've got to keep in mind. This is federal, you know, the federal ARPA funds. They come with some fairly rigid constraints and requirements that we've been exceedingly careful to comply with for a really big reason. We don't want to have to pay any of it back, certainly $1,067,000. So we have to follow their rules, and they say you've got to obligate it by, was it 12/31/24, I guess, and then you've got two more years to finish spending it or to spend
That's
it.
Correct.
And so that'll be the end of this year. So they were good to give guidance to say, hey, by the way, you know, you've got money going out to a lot of projects. It's conceivable and probabilistic that, honestly, not all of those projects will spend absolutely every dime of that money that you appropriate for them and obligate to them. You may want to pre-identify a project that any of those unused funds would be eligible to spend on, and pre-identify it before 12/31, or I guess January 1st of 25. And so if you'll recall, we had discussions that, hey, we need to pre-identify. If any of the projects don't use all the money for whatever reason, we don't want to send that money back to Washington, D.C. We want to spend it right here. And so we started looking in my office, what can we do to benefit as much of the county as possible with any leftover funds? And the Conway Corp project, jointly with Community Water, which serves the vast majority of the citizens of our county with those two water systems, are jointly bringing a water line down from Greers Ferry, and they're going to treat, it's actually kind of a new setup, they're going to treat it on the delivery end rather than at the source end, and then for whatever sciencey reasons, they don't have to retreat the water. And part of that project is the water treatment plant. Once the raw water is brought down here, it will serve both the Conway Corp system, which is half the citizens of the county, and the community water system. And I don't have the counts on that, but it serves quite a bit of the remainder of the county. I know that it at least serves the biggest footprint in the county, and that's Malonia Water. I can't say for certain if it serves Greenbrier, Mayflower, Guy, Twin Groves, whoever else has a water system here, but I suspect it feeds all of them. That's a guess. Don't quote me on that. But the idea, as we progressed toward the end of 24, is like the last thing we want to do is lose any of this money. The next to the last thing we want to do is have to pay any back that they say we did not spend in compliance with their federal guidelines. And so, if you will recall, you pre-identified that as a body. Okay, that's a pre-identified project. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so I think all of this is an effort toward, hey, okay, if it's not going to be spent on the identified project, what can we spend it on? And if you also recall, we hired a third-party consultant to advise us on, you know, to be an expert in as someone who deals with DOJ or deals with Treasury and the ARPA administration, to use as a sounding board. They were very clear, you've got to use this on a pre-identified program. Is that true?
Yes.
And so I visited with the mayor of Mayflower, Mayor Jeffrey. I know Tom, I think you visited with their engineer. They made a considered decision, like they still think it's best overall, even though they will lose $1,067,000, that it's better for their taxpayer, for their citizens, for their water users. And I was not a part of any of their sort of the metrics or the analysis of that. I think it had to do with cost. But that's my understanding. Either way, that was their decision. We'll honor that, but we're not gonna allow $1 million of money to go back to the federal government. So.
Well, I just wanted to say I was in that meeting, and the issue was, the primary issue was, is that the final cost to the consumers was considerably higher than what they had anticipated, and they, at that time, Conway Corp couldn't actually put a figure on the table, so that was the primary reason that they decided to go back and build their own. And I think the total cost they figure is going to be less than it would be going to Conway Corp anyway, but at least they still have control of the rates if they keep it. So,
sure.
So that was their justification, and I think that's noteworthy to have that in the record since we're just about to vote on this.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or discussion?
Judge, I have a question.
Just don't mind.
Mr. Anderson, do you know kind of precisely what Conway Corp would spend this $1 million on? I know the project generally, but like planning or?
It's mostly engineering.
Engineering, okay. Yes. That's curious about. Thank you. I didn't figure, you know, the other money we appropriated for planning engineering, I was like, well, if they're not spent that yet, then there's no way they're going to start building something out there,
right,
you know, before the end of this year. So, okay, that's what I need to know, though. Thank you.
And then I would just ask ARP Administrator Anderson, are there any other, I know we're in the final year, and I know you, is it safe to say you've got your eye on that unspent money so that you have got time to redirect that or advise the court to redirect that to an eligible project or the eligible project?
Yes, sir, and I think I've said this in here before. We're looking at the end of June to tally up where everybody is on their expenditures, and then if we need to in July, we'll start moving money. There's one that doesn't have a ton of money left that they're kind of falling behind a little bit, so we'll meet with them in the next couple weeks and remind them. We told everybody June 30 is a cutoff. So right now that's the only one I'm worried about, and I hate to say anything
sure,
who it is.
Sure.
I don't want to scare them right now.
So but I will reiterate, it is really important that we just don't lose this money. It was sent here for our people. We need to make sure it's spent, and we certainly don't want to have to go back and pay any of it back for noncompliance, on, you know, regardless of project. So I want to thank you for your careful attention. I know it goes unsaid often, but that's a big part of really what keeps you up at night. It's a great responsibility, and I appreciate your work on it. Any other questions?
I just want to thank Tom and your administration and this court. I remember in the early days when we were distributing it, we were deciding how this money was going to be distributed and appropriated. Everybody was informed of the rules on this. Everybody knew up front who was in place. Everybody knew about these deadlines. And I don't think anybody in this court or in your administration did anything to obfuscate any of that. And so if somebody loses the money, it's on them.
Thank you for that. And I'm just really proud of the way our county has spent this money. I have involvement with other counties and, you know, other. I'll just say I'm really proud of you guys for leveraging these funds, this one-time money, into benefit for our citizens long after all of us are gone. And I think you adhered to that principle. If you look at the distribution of the money, you should be really proud. I'm not sure that I've said that enough to you all, but as compared to other counties, Faulkner County compares very favorably in terms of did we spend the money in a good way. And if you look at that, we did. And so you're to be credited for that.
Another question, Your Honor.
Yeah, Justice Pearson.
certainly seems like it makes sense to me, and that this will be a boon for the Conway Court project. Has there been any discussion from your office, Judge, with Conway Court about how that boon might be passed on to customers of Conway Court?
Well, when we were looking, I don't want to mischaracterize certainly how Conway Corp would characterize it, but our requirement was the only way that my office would consider recommending it to the full court for consideration, it has got to benefit as many people as possible. And they immediately said, well, gosh, the water project, you know, and they talked a little bit about the pipeline because it's, you know, that's a big effort by itself, just the pipeline acquisition, and they work on it all the time from D.C. to Conway. Everything from the Corps of Engineers to the federal legislators, that's a big, big undertaking. But the one thing that could benefit everyone is the treatment of water. And I don't want to avoid the question or sound like I'm avoiding the question, but I'm pretty confident what Chief Executive Officer Brett Carroll would say is that the water treatment benefits everyone. And the growth in Faulkner County, in this region, has really outpaced the comfortable projection of water capacity into the decades ahead. And there's a, you know, water responsibly run water systems try to project out 20, 50 years and so forth. The growth here has made it project shorter than they're comfortable with, and that's why they went ahead with this water project to try to get back out in front of that. I think adequate water supply for all involved in the region benefits their existing tax base and everyone else, I say tax base, but water user base, as well as everybody else who's going to be affected by the joint project, which is Community Water and Conway Corp. I'm not sure. I certainly don't have access to any, you know, data analysis of whether or not it will lower the existing users', you know, water rates, and I wouldn't pretend to. But just what I hear Brett Carroll talk about is water capacity, water capacity, water capacity, and we can't ever get behind, not to throw our brethren out west under the water, under the bridge, but we don't ever want to be in that position. I think that's a great question, though.
Yeah, and I appreciate your response. I'm not trying to put you under the gun or anything. I was just curious if you'd had any conversation about it, and I'll be sure to follow up with Conway Corp about it to see. Given the ownership nature and the structure of that entity, I can assume, you know, imagine that it would, since it's not a privately held corporation or anything. So I will follow up with them. Thank you.
Sounds good. I have heard them say repeatedly, he and Chief Operating Officer Brett McDaniel, they're really in tune to the cost to the fee payer, and whatever they do, the impact on an existing their existing rate base, I think, is what they talk about. So, for example, developers coming in and needing infrastructure for a development or the first of a series of developments, that's the first thing they begin with, is talking about the impact to their existing ratepayers in terms of financing their project, or I shouldn't say financing, but how they're going to fund that project. I know it's pretty complex, and I know it'll involve federal dollars and then sources of all kinds. I know they've been planning for it. So I think from a funding standpoint, they think they're going to be okay. Really good questions. We've elevated our discussion this month for sure. Any other comments or questions? All right, roll call vote, please.
Allison.
Yes.
Hopes.
Yes.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Woski.
Yes.
Lyne.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shop.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Dorby.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. The ordinance passes. And I want to thank you all for the due diligence. I want to thank Justice Strain for really working out, making sure that everybody understood what was going on there. I think that's fair. And I want to thank for all who joined in that discussion. I want to thank everybody again, for our approach as a county to ARP and ARP funding. You've done a really good job, everything from devoting significant resources toward the professional management of that money to demanding answers to questions along the way so that you understand what's going on. And it's a multi-year effort. It's a big effort, and really proud of Faulkner County for the way that it's administered its ARP program, particularly when you look around the state. I see Administrator Higgins nodding his head. He and I get around the state. We're familiar with other locales, and you've done a great job. I'll just leave it like that. Moving along, appointments, there are none this month. We do have a couple of announcements. Justice Yorgi, I think you've got an announcement.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to let everyone in the room, as well as those on screen, know about an important event coming up next Thursday. This is in collaboration with the IRS, Congressman Hill's office, Arkansas Legal Aid, and Arkansas Asset Builders. We are hosting a tax outreach and problem-solving day at Don Owens Sports Center from 10 to 2, Thursday, March 26th. That's during spring break. There have been quite a few changes to taxes this year. Last summer's One Big Beautiful Bill made changes to anyone age 65 or older with their additional deduction for seniors. The changes to the taxability of tips and overtime, additional deductions for vehicle loan interest, and there may be some confusion around those issues, and it's just hard to get clarity from the IRS sometimes. So we will have humans from the IRS in person here in Conway next Thursday, the 26th. So any constituents, it is free, first come, first served. Get real help.
Very good. What was the time?
10 to 2.
10 to 2.
Don Owens Sports Center, Thursday the 26th. And I will forward information to your email addresses, everybody on the court.
Very good. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting us know. Certainly, did you say that's in conjunction with Congressman Hill's office?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and again, Thursday, March 26th, that's a week from this Thursday, so 9 days from now at Don Owens, 10 to 2. Very good.
Judge, I have a quick announcement if I could.
Sure.
You guys might be interested that Creekside Alarm Station is having their soft opening, and actually several for the next few days. They're starting tonight from 5 to 9, and they'll be open Tuesday. Wednesday the 18th, Friday the 20th, Monday the 23rd, Wednesday the 25th, then Friday the 27th at those hours. If you want to go by and take a look at the facility, that's really, really nice what they've done. So,
what were those hours again?
And 5 to 9.
5 to 9.
P.M. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I make one more, Judge?
Yes, Justice Salson.
Next week, early voting opens, 24th, county courthouse only, and then election day for the runoff election is March 31st.
Thank you for drawing that to our attention. Can you repeat those dates again?
The early voting starts the 24th at the courthouse only for the early voting period, and then election day at the regular polling stations. I'm not sure if all of them are open or not, but they're the 31st.
Very good. And then County Extension Agent Mary Beth Gross, you got an announcement?
Always. Saturday, we're having an open house at our office. And so this is our third year in a row that we've done this as an effort to get exposure for the voluntary tax and try to get some exposure for that. So we're doing that in combination with some of the other organizations that receive county voluntary taxes as well. And so we meet as a group, the five organizations that are countywide. We meet once a month at our office. And so our office will be hosting open house, as well as if the other organizations want to meet at or around our office, they're open to that too. It's also free tree day. So that's really our pull is our Krista, our horticulture agent, is a certified arborist, and she serves on the tree board. And so they host the free trees giveaway at the cabin next to our office. And so then we'll have open house so that the public's welcome to come through, and we'll have little demonstrations going and Q&As with the agents and things like that. So that is Saturday, 10 to 12. In April, we have a farm roundup coming up. So all the second grade classes across the county are invited to farm roundup. Several of y'all are familiar. So that's April 14th and 15th at the Expo Center. Just wanted to give you a heads up. It's a good place to, you know, mingle with teachers and see these kids interact with animals, some of them for the very first time. And it's a really good education experience. But this is our 26th year as an office to do that program. So it's long-standing, tons of volunteers, tons of sponsors involved with that, which is really great. The last thing is the book that you have in front of you is our 2025 Agriculture and Horticulture Demonstrations book. You like agriculture, and if you like research, you're going to like that book. It has everything to do with Faulkner County. There's both residential properties used as well as commercial properties used, the different varieties that were used in trials, and what went well and what went wrong, and what variables were associated with the different ones. So this book is not put together by a company or our state level. This is put together in our office by Kevin Lawson and Krista Quinn. And we even bind it in our office. So you are getting Faulkner County product right there. But lots of good information. They put in a lot of hard work. Little brag on Kevin. As an organization, agriculture agents are required to do 5 demonstrations a year, and I believe this last year Kevin did like 15. He really goes above and beyond, and it shows quality of work.
Well respected around the state, for sure. Thank you for that update. That's a lot. Where could we go to find that info? Is there a good website?
Yeah, so University, we're the U of A Division of Agriculture, so uada.edu, and then you go to the search bar and search for Faulkner County, and we have a lot of our 4-H programs posted there, our Master Gardener programs, dates, all sorts of stuff. We had 4-H competitions that are happening all the time, it seems like. Master Gardener State Meeting, I keep saying that, but we're hosting it in June, which is a really big deal at the Expo Center. Not everything, but a lot of things you can find on there.
Awesome. Very good. Any questions? We're proud of you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Anything else to come before the court? Justice Meeks.
Just want to point out our nice banner up there. It wasn't up there last month.
Yeah. America 250 here in Arkansas. So, yeah. Can you believe that? 250 years, our country. Anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
Sure.